All right, talking today with Kim Atkins, Vice President at the USGC. And Kim, tell us a little bit about the trade situation going on right now. Can you give us like just a brief overview? Obviously, there's a lot of contention going on with U.S. and a lot of its trading partners right now.
Yeah, well, you know, for the past couple of years, trade has really been in the spotlight. Certainly every day there's something kind of new happening in terms of negotiations on the USMCA and renegotiating CORUS, which happened, you know, a couple of years ago. And now everyone's eyes are kind of what's happening on the China situation. But, you know, the exciting thing for us as the Grains Council is to pay most attention to the increases in demand that are happening around the world. So despite the current trade challenges, we've seen record trade numbers out of the United States. Demand for coarse grains and co-products, including ethanol, is really on the rise.
Yeah. So that's good news to hear, because a lot of the times the narrative that we hear out there is that there is a lot of worldwide demand, but for instance, the Black Sea region out there has really dominated some of that market. So how's the USGC work to, I guess, overcome some of that?
Of course, you know, there has been growing competition around the world for our products, but I think that, you know, of course, that's why it's so important for us to be at the table and negotiating these free trade agreements. So we're excited to see, you know, or hopeful to see NAFTA make it over the finish line, or not NAFTA, sorry, USMCA make it over the finish line. And, you know, I'm really feeling pretty enthusiastic about the fact that USTR has announced kind of their push to move forward on other free trade agreements, including with Japan and hopefully with countries like Vietnam, where we think that there's a real need for the United States to get involved and start kind of playing offense and being involved in new trade agreements.
We've kind of seen lately that Congress, many in Congress, I guess, feel as though USMCA isn't quite there for them. And so a lot of groups have come together, especially in the ag community, to really put pressure on them to ratify that. How optimistic are you that that'll get done anytime soon?
You know, I think that at this Commodity Classic, there's going to be a real push to get farmers to talk very positively about the need for USMCA to be passed. It's going to take a lot of grassroots effort. The Grains Council itself doesn't lobby, but our sister organizations, including the National Corn Growers Association, National Barley, National Sorghum, they do lobby on our behalf, and I know that they're going to be spending a lot of time getting that grassroots movement going on USMCA.
Just playing devil's advocate, if we were not able to get that, how would that impact the grain industry here in the U.S.?
Well, you know, Mexico is one of the top customers for many of the products that we represent, especially for corn, for distillers grains, for sorghum, for barley. They're a growing customer for U.S. or, you know, an opportunity for U.S. ethanol. So I think that, you know, for us, it would be a real disadvantage to not have that trade agreement in place. You know, there has been testing in terms from the Mexican side in terms of looking at South America as an option for those grains. So, you know, it's important for us to be on a level playing field and to have that strong trade agreement in place.
Talk a little bit about the role that ethanol is playing right now in the scope of the industry. I know that there has been issues with EPA not living up to some of their regulatory obligations that they need to be living up to on that. But where are we at? I know Brazil also has played in that as well.
Well, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years, the U.S. Grains Council has been really dedicated to working on ethanol market development around the world. So we have been kind of told by our membership that the quickest way to increase corn grind is going to be to move ethanol overseas. So we've been actively engaged in a number of countries around the world, including Brazil, including Mexico and Japan, China, India. Really, it's a global effort for us, and we've seen a lot of success already in terms of rising ethanol exports. This year, I think there's an opportunity to see just about, you know, 1.7, 1.8 billion gallons of ethanol being exported. We have a pretty aggressive goal set for ourselves, reaching 4 billion gallons by 2022. So, you know, we've got a lot of work ahead of us, but we think it's a really great and growing opportunity for U.S. farmers.
to the work that you all are doing too, you know, with the glut of stocks that we've got right now in all grains, really. This is very important to farmers, and it'll really help to increase those profits once we get past all of this.
Yeah, 95% of the world's population is living outside of our borders, so farmers need to pay attention to the fact that their customers are primarily outside the borders of the United States, and it's really important to look at opportunities to grow demand for the corn, sorghum, barley, and those co-products outside of the United States.
And I'll just leave you with this last question. As far as Trump's negotiations with China, what's your expectations for that as we continue to chew on that?
You know, I think that, the expectations are, of course, that we'll start to see some improvements in the system and, you know, as a whole in terms of, more transparent and more reliable, timelines in terms of biotech acceptance, for example. Those are like the long-term and goals that we have. Of course, sales are great, and any sales that come from these negotiations will be welcome. But of course, ultimately, we're looking for kind of big systematic changes.